Grace to you and peace from God who creates and redeems and sustains all things. Amen. A few years ago, I was in a meeting of clergy people at which we had been called together by our bishop for this kind of mass meeting. And we had been sent emails and then reminded at the beginning of the meeting and asked to silence or turn off our cell phones. So we sat there in the meeting, and about 5 minutes into the meeting, we heard the dreaded ring. And it rang, and it rang. And finally, this gentleman stood up and took his phone, one of the pastors, stood up, took his phone out of his phone and said, "Hello? Hello? I'm in a meeting." "Well, okay, hang on." And then he proceeded to stand up and talk all the way out as he walked. "Yeah, I'll be right there in a minute. I'm in a meeting. Don't worry about it. I'll get... The bishop stopped and stared. And being a more patient man than I am, did not say anything untoward, as I might have. And then he just looked and started talking again. But something changed in the room. The spell of attention had been broken. And somehow we could not get the picture of this guy in his slippers and aloha shirt and shorts standing up in the middle of the meeting and disrupting the bishop. It just sort of disrupted everything. And it took forever to get back on track. Interruptions are like that. We think we are following a course and suddenly we are interrupted, and it's hard then to get back to what we were thinking or doing. And frankly, as I get older, I find disruptions harder and harder to recover from. In our gospel lesson for today, Jesus disrupts the norm. Our text says that on the Passover was near, and Jesus went to Jerusalem, and in the temple he found people selling cattle and sheep and doves and the money changers seated at the tables. Now, when we read this story, we know what's coming. We know that he will make a whip of cords and drive them all out of the table and upset the tables, or out of the temple, and upset the tables of the money changers. But what we forget is that what was going on in the temple that day was simply business as usual. In fact, the animal sellers and the money changers were simply performing a much needed task. When one came to make sacrifice at the temple, one needed to have the right animals. And you couldn't exactly, you know, travel 20 miles to the temple with a sheep tucked under your arm as if it was a Visa credit card. And so people would buy the animals that they needed for sacrifice there at the temple, in the courtyard, outside the holy places, in the public space around the perimeter of the temple. And the temple tax needed to be paid with the right kind of money. So what was happening in the temple was not unusual or even unholy. So in a way, Jesus' actions seem quite odd. But I began to think of what he was up to as a kind of disruption to the norm that is absolutely needed in order for change to happen. Jesus' concern was not about the business, I don't think. It was not about the fact that a needed service was being provided, but that that had begun to consume the function of the temple. That the laws set forth in the first lesson that you heard for this morning had become more rote than holy, more habit than formative. It happens to us all the time. We sort of get in the habit of doing things a certain way. And so for my friend who got up in the middle of the meeting, he had a whole lifetime of analog phone calls at home, where nobody cares if you stand up in the middle of I Love Lucy and answer the phone. But he wasn't used to being in a room full of people who all had to listen to his phone call all the way out the door. And not only that, but he stood just outside the open door and carried on a full voice conversation. Sometimes interruptions like what Jesus does on that day helps reset our minds and our hearts and our thoughts and our spirituality. Jesus says to the people who are there, "Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." It's not the only function, Jesus says. About 15 years ago, when this text came up, it happened to be on a Sunday when we had out, wasn't 15, I guess it's about 13 years ago, when we had a whole bunch of stuff set up out in the courtyard because we were doing a fundraiser. And the whole courtyard was filled with tables of stuff for sale. And I thought to myself, how easy it is for us to forget Jesus' disruption. We know how that disruption will play out for Jesus. But I began to think, what are the disruptions that maybe are leading us these days to rethink what has become a habit? The Black Lives Movement is a disruption. Points out to all of us the racial inequity that permeates our society. It's inconvenient. It's annoying for some people. It lays bare wounds that we do not want to have uncovered, and yet that disruption has pointed out to us racial inequity, the presence of white supremacy within our own nation and around the world, and lifts up the continuing violence that people of color experience every single day. It's a long overdue disruption to what has become normal, normative habit. I would say the same is true for the Me Too movement, which exposed once again what women have endured forever. To call out long-standing abuse in both business and government and household and society, which is unconscionable and unlawful, and yet tolerated from long habit. It was a long overdue disruption that will continue into the future and hopefully reshape how we think and live and structure ourselves to put away those things which diminish others. And bring out the holiness of what it means to be human. Jesus himself becomes an interruption for us. In our lesson in Genesis, there's this wonderful exposition about the law and how it all gets established. And then what happens is that over time, we have this law, this Decalogue, this piece of incredible writing that is meant to mend relationships and forge for us a society. And then we begin to figure out sentence by sentence and moment by moment how to make enough exceptions to it to make it palatable. And sometimes we then enforce the parts that we want to enforce to the letter while ignoring other parts altogether. Jesus comes into the picture and interrupts our own complacency. It begins early in his ministry when he goes and he eats with tax collectors and prostitutes and Gentiles. When he heals people who are considered unclean, converses with demons, calls his disciples to a life of love. Jesus' teaching interrupts our theological and our religious complacency. The problem with being a Christian is that occasionally you actually have to read Jesus. And if you read Jesus, you realize so much of what we call home in our faith has very little to do with what Christ calls us to at our core. Jesus' healing, and those stories are rife throughout all the Gospels, interrupts our brokenness. It is so easy to overlook the open wounds of our world, the open wounds of ethnic cleansing and war, of misogyny, of social inequity, and of economic power. It's even easy to take those who are terribly broken and inconvenient, our elders, and warehouse them away because it's just too hard to do anything else. And Jesus interrupts our brokenness with healing and calls us to healing. And finally, Jesus' love, that elusive, difficult, inconvenient call of love, interrupts everything. That call of Jesus to love interrupts our selfishness, our greed, our narcissism, and our apathy. It even interrupts us. My friend Liz, as we were studying this text, said something that really was powerful to me. As we were talking about the law and what the law intends and how love sometimes calls us out of the law to something greater, she said, you know what? Love is harder than the law. And yet, there is nothing better. The quote that she offered was that loving other people is handing them the ability to break your heart. And I would add, in doing so willingly. Jesus overturns the money changer tables and drives us out of our complacency back to this persistent love that God gives us from the beginning and calls us to have for one another. It may be best if we, as God's people, can use that holy disruption of Christ on the cross to be the foundation of our love that will help us to better love one another, to put aside racial violence, to put aside misogyny, to undo the bonds of discrimination based on sexual orientation, color, size, religion, you name it. Is it any wonder that if we follow Jesus, that the world would consider us, as Paul says, fools? And that the enterprise to which we have been called is a kind of foolishness? Of course it is, but it is a holy foolishness. And it is the foolishness to which we have been called in this world. And so we are disrupted. We're disrupted as we begin each day to rethink what God and the Holy Spirit is calling us to, not only as a church, but as human beings called together in this great enterprise of life. And perhaps in those holy interruptions, we too can do the work that God is calling us to. It may not be comfortable or fun, but it can be joyful and hopeful. Jesus Christ, the one who brings us holy disruption. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day, Canticle of Turning, ELW number 723.